People and welcome to the Out of Bounds YouTube channel. Lake Show, we're all here. I mean, just to confirm, Abbas and Sam are Lakers, am I correct?
Yeah, I'm a
All
Lakers
Lakers. Yeah, we're
and
all
Golden
Lakers,
State.
we're all
I'm
Lakers.
Golden State fan. Don't get let's not get confused in it.
Now we don't care
Lakers,
about the other side,
that
we
should
just
not
care
be
about our
allowed.
side. Before we get
That
into
shouldn't
all
be
of that
allowed.
stuff, the playoffs are here. And I am joined by Kojo. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm very, very happy, man. Obviously, you know why. I'm in a great mood. The Lakers make me happy. I just can't wait for the playoffs to begin. So I'm good, man. But how are you, man? How's it going?
Now you know it is. I'm repping purple and gold. You can see the background.
That's right. Obviously,
Abbas,
you can
how you
see
doing?
me.
What's that? You shout me? I'm doing good, you know. I can't lie, I have different takes on the playoffs. Like, if people know my takes about the playoffs, they're way too long. No way should a postseason be 2 months at least.
Damn, he's coming bad vibes already.
Oh,
But I'm
okay.
excited, so we're gonna go back to Sam. Sam, how are you doing? So, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Like everyone said, I'm excited for the players because I'm not gonna lie, I can't tell you the last time I watched a regular season game. So, Bels is here. It's when it's crunch time. So, it's when the
Yeah.
big boys come out. So let's see what happens, man.
You weren't setting alarms at 3 a.m. like the real basketball fans, but that's not the here or there. So, as we said, the playoffs are around and we are going to give our predictions. Just before we do give our predictions, just because Abbas wanted to rant quickly about how long the playoffs are, so I'm going to give him the floor for like 5 minutes before we get into it. Why are the playoffs too long?
This is my take on the playoffs. The fact that the season starts in October and ends in April, that's what, how many months is that? 6 months?
Nine. No, it's 7 months, I believe.
6 or 7 months. The fact that your postseason is about a quarter of that is mad to me. Like, there should never be a way where your postseason is that long. No sport ever has it in America that is that long. And the fact that then I can go and not watch two games of the first round, come back and be like, yo, there's still an interesting series going on, for me is also crazy. Like, I can dip on Saturday and not watch the first games of the first round. I know that I've got enough to be able to catch up on, and I'm not going to miss out on anything. And I just think it's way too long. Should be five games for the first two rounds. Then I can talk about seven games because you're playing for the trophy, Western, Eastern Conference Finals, and then for the NBA Finals. But yeah, and that's just my opinion. 2 months for a four season is way too long.
I hear that, yeah, but in terms of that five game series, it works and it doesn't work. Then they'll have to change how the games are played because at the moment it's 2-2-1-1-1. So if it goes to five, then you have to either do one, three in the middle, and then one, or you have to give it where there's not too much a competitive advantage to, for example, the higher seeds in it. And I think in terms of just how the NBA is, there's so many teams and so many teams make the playoffs, it's always going to be long. It's like hockey.
Yeah.
It's like
Plus, there's a lot
baseball.
of talent throughout the whole league, whereas
You
in
know what I mean?
other
So
teams are
let me
actually
also bring you up on
decent.
one more thing as well. The play-in tournament is one of the biggest disgrace in competitive sports ever.
Wow.
How can you play 82 games and still not be good enough to be a top eight seed? Like,
No,
how do you
but
have to be?
you know, I stand for it because it stops tanking to a certain degree. When you
It
think
does,
about all
and then
those
you're
11,
still gonna have
12 seeds.
Houston. You're still gonna have teams that look at Dallas. What they started doing, they
But
started tanking. They didn't even need to at one point. You still have
also,
San Antonio.
it's all about narrative. The NBA probably wants a narrative that at some point, somebody that gets into playoffs via the play-in actually wins the chip. That's the narrative that they want. It's like, for example, in an NFL, someone coming through as a wild card and then wins the Super Bowl. And I think that's just the storyline that you want to have. It could be Golden State. They finished 10th seed, but they able to get into the playoff, win. Get into the playoffs, then win a chip. That story there, that narrative is what you want in it for a sport.
I get that, but realistically, let's be honest, the teams that are in the playoffs are playing tournaments right now, outside of the Lakers, none of them are going to get past the first round. They've
Of
well, they
course,
should.
but that's why they do it though. For teams
Yeah.
like the Lakers or Golden State, where they might be going for a transition and they're struggling, you still want to try and get the big teams into the playoffs. Because imagine, for example, OKC finished eighth. You and the Lakers finished ninth or tenth. You'd rather want to see the play-in where the Lakers have an opportunity to get into the playoffs, and it's just more revenue dollars, more
Yeah,
people.
I hear you. It's
You
all about the
know what I
money.
mean? So
but you must stink to not make it into the top eight.
Of course, but look at the Hawks and
yeah.
the Heat. We're going to speak about that, but look, that's what it's done.
So, I mean, I half disagree with everything about said, but I can see where he's coming from. But as we all here for, we are going to give our playoff predictions. So obviously, you know, we've had the play-in and the Hawks have now secured the seventh seed as they disgraced the Heat yesterday. Or should have disgraced the Heat, but Kyle Lowry was turning back the years. So they're now the seventh seed. So I'm just going to post a picture to let you know how the standards look. We've got Bucks, Celtics, Philly, Cavs, Knicks, Nets, Hawks. And there's three other teams that could potentially make either Heat, the Raptors, the Bulls. So we're just going to talk about the first one. It's going to be Bucks versus one of those teams. I don't really think there's much to cover here because I'm predicting sweep for whoever becomes the eighth seed. Could you see a possibility whereas in there's anything different there?
No, I think the Bucks are going to win the series. Whoever they face with is Toronto or the Bulls, or even Miami. Johnson, I think they'll win this series quite comfortably. I think if they face Miami, I think at best Miami will probably take two games at best. If it's Toronto Raptors, I think at best Toronto taking a game, so I think it'll be a gentleman sweep if that was a possible matchup. And Toronto, I think again at best, you know, for Toronto winning the game, gentleman sweep for Miami. I think for me, the Bucks are going to progress through easily to the second round, whoever they face. So I don't see any sort of trouble for the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round.
So I'm saying sweep. You're saying in five or.
I'm saying is they'll have an easy series. Sweep at worst from the Bucks, a gentleman sweep in five.
You know what? If this was a case where they couldn't face Miami and they face anybody else, no. Sorry, if Miami are unlucky because if they play the Bucks now, they'll sweep them. Obviously, if they're playing the Bucks later on, because they get more playoff ready, it'll be a bit more competitive. Fortunately, it's just one of them things where I see the Bucks as that team that's on a mission to get back to where they should be, and also to show that Giannis should be the MVP of the season. So I'm kind of with everybody where I think there's going to be no upsets, nothing of the sort, and you'll see the Bucks finish everyone except for the Heat. They'll finish them in four, but they beat the Heat in five.
Okay, and are we all saying, Sam?
What, in regard to the Bucks? It's easy money for them. I think the first round is going to be easy, and we know how efficient the Bucks are. So it would be a sweep or a gentleman's sweep. So 4-0, 4-1. I don't see any of those teams getting two games off the Bucks, to be honest.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy for like the past 3-4 seasons. The Bucks have always had the most boring matchups in the first round. I mean, times I've had like Detroit and all those teams.
Orlando,
yeah.
But isn't that based on the East though? It's not their fault, but it's just the East.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's like in the first round.
We know if you go lower down the standings, apart from the top five, in the Eastern standings, if you go lower than that, there isn't really that much good teams, really. So, again, like Sam said, it's not really their fault. It's just the dynamics of the Eastern Conference. So, yeah.
But it is what it is at this point. All right. Oh, that's a fuck the box, anyways. Up until the second series of the first round in the East, we've got Celtics versus the Hawks. Any chance of an upset there?
Hell no. I just think you've got the Celtics duo and you've got Jason Tatum. Who's going to guard him? Like, Trae Young's not guarding no one. And in terms of defense and offense, as a complete team, you got the Celtics. So again, that will probably, just because they got Trae Young that can put up points and put up numbers, I would say, yeah, it will be a gentleman's sweep. But that's easy again. To be honest, you see the Celtics with their duo and their team, and you see, they got good coaching as well. That matchup should be easy money for them, to be honest.
So you're saying Celtics in five?
Yeah, I'm just being generous because I don't know how seriously, you got Jaylen and Jason Tatum. Who's stopping them at Atlanta? Like, they don't even play defense. You know what I mean? You got Capella that's on the board, but apart from that, he's not a proper, like, you know, wing defender. Yeah. He's a perimeter defender, isn't it? So I would say, yeah, I would like to say 4-0, really, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree with Sam, to be honest with you. I can't see the series going no more than 5 games. I'm actually a bit annoyed that the Hawks won yesterday because I like Miami. I wanted them to face Boston. I thought that'd be a great matchup. Well, to be honest with you, Boston going to win the first round, whoever they face. Let's be very real. They're completely miles better than Miami and the Hawks. But I thought with the Heat being the 7th seed, I thought it would be a bit more of a competitive first round. Maybe Miami could take 2 games on Celtics. But obviously, because they lost yesterday, it's the Hawks. No more than for me it being a gentleman sweep for the Celtics. So at worst case for the Celtics is going 5, but I think they're gonna sweep them still. I don't see how they're gonna stop Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and obviously just you know the role players that the Boston Celtics have, I just think will be too much for Atlanta. I wouldn't be surprised with a sweep. So I'm gonna call it. I think Boston are gonna sweep the Atlanta Hawks and progress to the second round, semifinals, and most likely face the Bucks. No, sorry, not the Bucks. They'll face Philadelphia or whether it's Philly or Cleveland or the other Knicks. So, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say that Boston will win the series. However, I think Atlanta take game one. I think they'll come
you see,
in.
You see, this what I'm liking.
I think ATL can take game one. It's one of them. One of them things where everyone's just expecting Boston just to turn up and just play as they want. And then something will happen where the switch won't be there. We've seen Jason Tatum just last year stink it up in the finals.
But now the finals, the first round.
I hear it.
They gave the work to Brooklyn. Like Brooklyn didn't
want No, we say that. But Brooklyn threw that series for me more than Boston won it because they had so many
leads. Man, KD,
I think the first two games, I think.
No, Boston was just Brooklyn. Too good defensively. They was able to.
I don't know, you know, because there was time.
Well, actually, I think I'm leaning more towards Abasa than that one. Like the way
there was KD a lot was of choking. Times, but in that series,
the way KD was choking that series.
I think the first two games, I think Brooklyn had a good chance to kind of really take the lead and actually capitalize on the inefficiencies of Boston.
I hear that, but my thing is that we can't compare this Atlanta Hawks team to that team. So, yes, Brooklyn had opportunities, which they didn't take, but Boston still swept a much better team than what this Atlanta Hawks team is. Like, take away Trae Young. If Trae Young is not on point, then what are the Nets doing? You're relying on Capella, 5 points and 21 boards. All right, say less.
I hear it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I expect it to be 5, but for some reason, I always think as well, there's always that little bit of complacency with the team when they come out and they just expect to win. I've always said about Boston, I do think they're a little bit overrated because I know a lot of people were hyping on them when they were at top of the Eastern Conference, and I always believe the Bucks are the cream. Like, they are the best team when it comes to the Eastern Conference, and it's just a matter of time eventually they'll get there. There's that little issue with Jaylen Brown where I don't think he's fully on board with Boston after this season anyway myself. Saying that, I still believe that they'll go through. I still believe Boston will go through, but I do think Atlanta can shock them and take game one. And then from there, it'll be like, yo, wake up call, right, let's finish this type of thing.
I mean, I'm not going to fully jump and say Hawks are a great team because they're not. And as you said, Trae Young isn't guarding nobody, but then at the same time, they still got Murray in the, am I right, Jante Murray? In the backcourt. I was thinking of the other Nuggets one. So Siakam in the backcourt, who is a good defender, and I'm going to respect them enough for them to go off in at least one game. So I still think the Celtics will win this series, but I do think it will happen in 5. That's just my opinion anyways. And they're not the same. I don't know. There's something about the Celtics that's just a bit weird. They don't strike me as they're formidable. They were as good as they were last season. Like, they had a really hard start beginning of the season. I think where they are understanding is more to how good they were at the beginning of the season. But then they start tailing off towards the middle and the end. Like, really and truly, Philly have had a better middle to end than them, I believe, anyway. So I'm going to go with the Celtics to win that series, but I'm going to do that in 5. onto the next series, because I do think this one might be a bit closer than. Actually, nah, I lied. I just remember what teams it was. Philly versus the Nets. What are we saying?
Let me start this off right, and this is where my hater cap comes on. Doc Rivers is 100% on the clock here. I don't care about the players because James Harden is leading the league in assists. He's doing his thing. May not be the points guy anymore like he used to be, but he's leading in assists. Doc Rivers, on the other hand, if you do not put down a marker and lead this team to, at the very least, Eastern Conference Finals, you stink. Your coaching resume stinks. Everything about you stinks. And that's my thing about this. In terms of this series, I think this is going to be one of them ones where they're just going to be mismatched. Brooklyn, unfortunately, they just don't have the assets. Credit to them for finishing in sixth after what happened with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But I think this is going to be, again, one of those series where Joel Embiid showcases why he should be the MVP. And he's going to have the license to be able to do that. What's the guy's name? Tyrese Maxey, again, another guy I do like in the team itself. But again, for me, this is one of them series where it's like, okay, how much pressure is Doc Rivers going to be under? How far are the 76ers going to allow the Nets to make this a series? And I think, personally for me, they have to come, put a stamp down, similar to, especially if Boston and the Bucks go ahead and slam their authority and are like, yeah, we're going to showcase why we're one of the best teams in this conference. I think Philly need to do similar. But for me, the storyline isn't more on the players, it's more on the coach. And Doc, you're on the clock.
Yeah, so, well, I agree with the Doc on the clock. Like, he's been on the clock for the longest since when he was at the Clippers, isn't it? And everyone looks at Doc like he hasn't done nothing since he won the chip with Boston. And I kind of agree.
Oh, A-ring.
He's blown so many leads where, you know, they were favourites to win. And all they had to do is close out the game and they wasn't able to do it, innit? So, yes, he's definitely on the clock. But in terms of the matchup, I don't see it as straightforward as everyone else sees it. Because I just think with the Nets here, they're one of those teams that their history is not built for them to have superstars. It's just built for them to have role players. And we've seen when they've had role players, they've always just, they've been a good team, like an enjoyable team. Like when they had D'Lo and Dinwiddie and those guys, they were putting up numbers, dancing on the court, they were having fun. And I think that's what the Nets is all about, having fun. And I think they're going to surprise a few teams. Like, you see what Mikal Bridges is doing there. Since he's been on form. And they've got that camaraderie where, you know, they're playing as a team. And it's like, there's no superstars. We're all here to help each other. So I don't think, I do think the Sixers will win, but I think it'll be probably in six. Like, the Nets are going to step up and take some games. And going back to Philly, do we know, like, I like Tyrese Maxey, but do we know what Tyrese Maxey is going to step up and show up in the playoff game? Do we know what James Harden we're going to get? And we know Joel Embiid. Yes, he could put up numbers, but when things are not going his way, my back's hurting, my knees are hurting, I'm going to take time out of the game. Yeah. So we just need to see how the series pans out. But I think it'll be probably the Sixers in six.
No, I small agree. Cause I know there's just something weird with the Sixers. And I remember from like 2018 up until 2021, every single year I'll be saying, nah, it's Philly to come out the East. It's Philly to come out the East. But they've got like that bottle gene in them. Even before Doc Rivers came, you saw the series against Toronto, even though Kawhi hit that big shot. But then you've had Ben Simmons, who at that time was giving you like 18 points a game. Tobias Harris is another player, giving you 18 points a game. Jimmy Butler's giving you 20. Then you've got Embiid. Then you've got JJ Redick coming off the bench and these squad players, and you're still not able to close that series. And even in the Embiid era, the furthest they've gone is the conference semis anyways. And I remember when they lost game one against Brooklyn in 2019, yeah, when Dudley started doing all that thing, and then Ben Simmons did it back to him, which is what you went back to the whole stuff with having fun. Don't quite quickly ask around in terms of everyone's, I know someone's really given it. Is this season championship or bust for Philly?
Yes,
I don't know.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I'll just say yes or no, because like, as we've all said, the Bucks are the prohibited favourites in the East, innit? So it's not like for example, you've got a number one seed, which is a bit iffy, and you know, okay, cool, the Sixers can beat them at some point. But just the way the Bucks are, and they've been together for a long period of time now. They've got a run, they've got a cohesion, they've got a ethos and structure in terms of how they want to play and Bucks basketball. I just think, yes, it is finals or bust, but it's going to be difficult to get past Milwaukee anyway. So yeah, to kind of lower the standard, you just say it's conference finals or bust for me, to be honest.
Do you agree with that?
Conference.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, we got a lot of standing for Philly. I think it should be conference final or bust. Again, like Sam said, the prohibitive favorites are the Milwaukee Bucks. So I feel like to kind of overtake them is going to be a very, very tough ask with their experience, especially how they won a championship 2 seasons ago. Boston, for me, are Philly's bogey team. I still think Boston are a better team than Philly in terms of their depth. So again, that's another tough ask. So I wouldn't, for me, have the expectation that the 76ers, for me, season is a championship or bust season. I feel like it's a conference final because, like you said, like since we've been watching basketball, I've not seen Philly get to a conference final. Do you know what I'm saying? So I feel like for me, it should be baby steps. Yes, they've got MVP, caliber talent with Jordan Embiid. You know, he's averaging 30 points a game. He's hungry to win a title. They've got good players around him. They've got an NBA Hall of Famer coach, or Doc Rivers, which obviously I know you have a bit of criticism for. But again, they need to kind of get past those hurdles. And I still think them not reaching the conference final with this squad, I still think that's a big miss. So again, it's definitely an aspiration for them to at least get the conference final. I feel like if they get the conference final, I think it's a good season. And the next season, again, you can say, you know what, maybe it's championship bust if they can still maintain the role players. And obviously, Jordan Embiid's in good form.
Now, I get you guys are coming from. The only reason I'm still leaning towards it might be championship or bust is two reasons. Is one, time isn't really on James Harden's side like that. Like obviously he's like what 33 years old now or something like that. I think, remember, he used to be an MVP level caliber player. Now he's performed on an All-Star level. Before All-Star level, you start dropping to, like, remember Max Kellerman's 1-5, you start becoming a 3. And I think it's kind of similar to what you even have with like Russ. I think Russ is just lucky that he's now able to even then play with two stars that are better than him and stuff like that in Paul George and Kawhi. But I think it's one of those things when you keep having failure after failure and after failure. And obviously, Bucks are my favorite as well, but that's just because they have Giannis. We don't really know what Middleton is like because he's dealt with a lot of injuries this season. So how do we know how he's going to perform? And I think he's really the key there. I mean, Drew Holiday is good, but offensively, when palms are getting sweaty, I'm not trusting him to be the one to close the game for the Bucks. And me and Sam have had this back and forth of what Giannis does as a closer anyway. So I think
Middleton, time. Come on, you already know, man.
I think Middleton is kind of the key for how much, but then it's not a thing to me, whereas in the Bucks are so overmatched to the point, whereas in Philly can't compete. And Embiid said it earlier when he dropped that three in Jokic face. He said he's due for a big playoff run. Philly are due for a big playoff run. So, I mean, it's time to cash in. But just before we move on to the next series, so what are we all saying for that? I'm going with Sam. I'm going to go Philly in 6. I do think Brooklyn with Mikal Bridges, Dinwiddie, and Thomas as well.
Cam Thompson.
Yeah. She's not funny. And that stuff. I do think they might be able to go to the point where they can steal 2 games because Doc Rivers, isn't it? So yeah, I'm gonna go with Nets in 6. So next Philly in 6.
Yeah, I agree. I'm gonna go Philly in 6.
And
I'm saying Philly in 7.
Oh wow.
Explanation?
It's gonna go the distance, yeah.
Because basically, I think, like you guys have said, the pressure is going to be on Philly. The Nets will play like a team that are free-flowing. And I think once you have one or two of them games where, okay, certain things aren't going for Embiid, James Harden's not getting his points because of obviously the way he gets to the basket isn't going to reward him with free throws. They go cold. They have a cold stretch where they miss about 5-6 shots in a row and Brooklyn go ahead and score on the other side. All of a sudden, you got 10-12 all run. And And I just don't like, I just don't trust Doc like that. I don't trust him. And for that reason, I think they'll go 7 and it'll be one of them pressure games. I don't, I can't say it because it's just not possible to say it because I like Embiid as much as I do. But I don't think there's needle movers to win the championship on that team. I don't think they're ready to win the championship because there's just a couple of players in the NBA for me that are just above anybody when it comes to the game itself. So that's why I can't put them to win the championship. But I do think they'll end this in 7 because I think they'll cave under a bit of pressure as well.
Interesting. Okay, so now on to the final matchup in the conference. We've got Cleveland versus the Knicks. New York stand up and all them things there. You know how happy they're excited to come back into the playoffs. And remember, do you guys remember, I think 2 years ago, the Hawks versus Knicks series, whereas in... I mean, one thing I would give the Garden for is knows how to pop off when, like, bro, there's playoff basketball there. Like,
Side Talk is going to go mad, bro. Like, if they win a series, Side Talk and Spider-Cuz, it's going to be different. It's going to be...
You saw the way they were cheering because they won a game. Bring out them guys. I can't remember their name. You know the ones that are always doing the skits outside Brooklyn Center.
Yes, Saito.
Saito.
Yeah, Saito.
Young looks like my dad.
Yeah.
And also swing fit. But just before going to the Knicks, are the Cavs underrated in the East or are they overlooked? Because I mean, you look at some of the players they've got. They've got Mobley, who we, a bunch of people are saying is one of the arguably defensive player of the year. You've got Donovan Mitchell, who's never missed the playoffs in his career. And we saw, he's a player, in my opinion, that when the playoffs come, he elevates to another level, even though he's an all-star already. You've got LeVert as well, who can give you buckets.
Darius
Garland. And, yeah,
Garland. You got Jared Allen.
Yeah, I was going to say, and Allen as well. And all this Ricky Rubio, who... as a backup, when he's not one of your best players on this team, is a really nice piece to have. Osman as well, he was decent in when he was running with LeBron and all those guys there. So are they overlooked in the East? Like, because you always hear of the Philly, Celtics and Bucks, but no one ever mentions the Cavs.
I don't think they're overlooked. I think the best they will probably achieve this season is a second round, which I think is not too bad. Again, I just think the likes of Philly having Jordan B, James Harden, a very dynamic, you know, experienced, you know, most of your talent in their team, I think, will surpass this Cavs team, which are kind of a bit inexperienced when it comes to playoff action, if you're being honest here. Because obviously last year, they missed out on the postseason, obviously used to Atlanta in the play-in. I think that factors in to why we kind of, you know, don't really take them seriously as a threat to maybe charge an Eastern Conference. So I don't look at them as a team which... you know, we're underrated. I think, you know, they'll win this series against the Knicks, in my opinion. I think it'll go 7 games. I think we're aiming for a distance here. But I don't see them, you know, getting past the second round. I think, for me, semifinal is their reach for the season.
So, are you saying they're not overlooked because the expectation for them isn't or shouldn't be great anyways?
I think just quickly, I'm just going to say... has been stuck in what I call the LeBron shadow. And but outside of LeBron, you don't really look at Cleveland and say they're going to do anything. Because without LeBron at the start, they were always a lottery team. They were one of the worst teams. Even with Kyrie, they were still one of the worst teams. And then when LeBron came back, it was like, okay, cool, LeBron's here. We can do something. When LeBron leaves, they don't really amount to much. Right now, they're on the ascendancy because they've got Donovan Mitchell. But you need to get out the LeBron shadow. Once that happens, fair enough. But also, Cleveland's not an attractive market in that sense. So the eyes don't go on to them. In the East, realistically, it's New York, Boston, and Philly where the eyes are on for the market, and Milwaukee because of Giannis. And they kind of just fit in perfectly where they are for me.
So yeah, I agree with the best on that.
That's a good question. Reason. So how did they get out of LeBron's shadow then?
No, they win a playoff game.
They win a playoff series and they'll start forming their own identity.
That helps them because, similar to what Kojo said, like, yes, they're a young team. They got a lot of youth. There's exuberant. And in terms of this season, you probably, You'd want to see them get to the second round. They are a dark horse because if you look at their starting 1-5, like there's so much potential there. So I would say second round is a good achievement, but they're a very dark horse. But within the next 2 to 3 years, they will probably be dominating the East. Yeah. If you look, you got Garland, you got Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, and whoever you want to put in as another fifth position.
Chris, you got LeVert as well.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. So if you go with that starting five in the East, you compare it to everyone else, you got the rim protectors in terms of your two bigs, the Twin Towers, like what they had in San Antonio. And then you've got your two scorers and a backcourt that can go for 40. Like, do you know what I mean? We've seen Donovan Mitchell go for 70. We've seen Garland go for 45, 50. So if they put all those pieces together, like they've got ammunition and they could do it. So within the next 2 to 3 years, they will probably go to ascendancy and take over the East because Embiid's getting old. Harden's getting old. Maxey's there, but Maxey's not an A type player. I would say he's more of a B, C. And then you've got Boston. We don't know where, like, as I was saying earlier, Jaylen Brown, his head's not really there. Everyone's trying to split up that duo there. The Knicks, no superstar wants to go there. The Nets, they're still building. So I think that's how they're going to get out of LeBron's shadow. And obviously, the Cavs are coming to the ascendancy as well. So I would say, I know you're going to ask this soon. I would say the Cavs in six, and they'll probably fall by the wayside in the second round. But if anyone wants to cause an upset, I would say them guys will cause an upset.
I just want to ask, just quickly, are we expecting the Knicks to do anything in this series?
I think they'll give it a very good goal. I think it'll make it really interesting. I feel like they'll push the series to a distance. I think they can still win the series. I wouldn't be surprised if they did win because I think they have been great this season. You know, Jalen Brunson's been their best player. You know, Emmanuel Quickley has been, you know, quite good, you know, as a role player. Julius Randle has improved this season, kind of showing similar sort of performances that he had 2 seasons ago. So, again, I think it's possible the Knicks can get out of the first round. I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm just looking at the multitude of talent that the Cavs have and again with the potential and the uprise they have in the young players. I'm just favouring them more, especially how they've got the home court advantage. But I think the Knicks, I think they're going to take it to seven. They could possibly win this series. But I think overall, no matter
what... They're going Cavs to seven. Season,
I'm going to go Cavs to seven, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks do win because I think it is going to be quite close. So, yeah.
Abbas, what are you thinking?
So this is the thing. The Knicks beat the Cavs in the regular season in terms of the series. So it's not to say that it's impossible. The only problem I look at it is, in terms of the players-wise, the best player on the court is Donovan Mitchell. And playoff Mitchell is a different baller. So that's the one thing I will definitely say. So if you're looking at it from... because of how basketball is, as much as it's a team game, there's an element of the star being able to elevate the rest of the team. And I think Mitchell can do that. The other thing I'm going to go is New York pressure. And one of the things that a lot of players don't realize it until you're there, similar to LA pressure. It's only a thing until you're there and then you realize what it is, apparently. They're starving for it. They've had opportunities where they were the favorites in a series and they still couldn't make it out. And this is going to be one of them as well that you look at, especially if we just talked about what we have with the Cavs. For them to get LeBron out of LeBron's shadow, they have to win a series that on paper looks like they're 60-40 favorites or 65-35 favorites. And this is one of them where I do believe they get out of it. I think what they'll end up doing is add more misery to New York and win in the Garden and win in six. And that's where I see this series going. And I think Mitchell, again, will just step up and do his thing.
No, I kind of agree. I'm going to go with the Cavs in six as well. I do think, as I said, like, Knicks basketball just seems fun whenever it's happening in the Garden. I don't know, because for a franchise that's had so much failure in recent years, I don't know, that just thinking about what happened in 2021, and obviously you're thinking, I mean, no arena knows how to boo a superstar more. That's why, like, people love going to the Garden, and Garden's also known for having historic performances. Everyone just goes back to Melo 61, I think it is.
MJ 55, double nickel.
Yeah.
Kobe 60, Steph Curry.
Yeah, so, 55.
Like, so players just go in there, and I mean, as I said, it's New York stand-up, and I'm not going to put it past Julius Randle, very, very streaky player. One time he's dropping 55 on 85% efficiency. Next thing you're looking is like, I'm better than this guy. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I do think that is the most level matchup, just because, as I said, you mentioned the New York pressure. But at the same time, there's also a feel-good factor when you're performing well in New York that's able to elevate you, I do believe. So I'm going to go with Cavs in six. But yes, that is the end of the Eastern Conference prediction. I don't know if I'm just going to put this one after the other. I'm going to release one day after the other. So if I do release it one after the other, we're going for a break. If I do release it the day after the next, thank you for watching. And anyways, you're going to see both anyways within a two-day period regardless. So it is what it is. Poor production planning, but here we are. So anyways, thank you for watching the Eastern Conference prediction, and we'll be back for what everybody's waiting for, the Beast of the West, or the Wild West, whatever the saying is. So yeah. So